John chapter 3, our focus will be on verses 7 through 10, but we're going to read verses 1 through 10. Actually, 1 through 15 is all one section. We're taking it in 3 weeks. It's very important. Now there was a man from out of the Pharisees, Nicodemus was the name given to him, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one is able to do these things which you yourself are doing unless God should be with him." Jesus answered and said unto him, of a truth, I say to you, unless anyone should be born from above," not born again, anothen means above, "unless anyone should be born from above, he is not able to see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus says to him, "How is a man able to be born while he is old? He is not able to enter a second time into the womb of his mother and to be born, is he?" Jesus answered, of a truth, I say to you, unless anyone should be born from out of water and from out of the Spirit, he is not able to enter into the kingdom of God. That which has been born from out of the flesh is flesh, and that which has been born from out of the Spirit is spirit. You should not marvel that I said to you, it is necessary for you to be born from above. The Spirit blows, or the wind blows, where it desires, and you are hearing the sound of it, but you do not know from where it is coming and where it is going. So is everyone who has been born from out of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, "How are these things able to happen?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Are you yourself the teacher of Israel?" Definite article. He's the master teacher, the head teacher of Israel. "Are you yourself the teacher of Israel, and you do not know these things?" At the end of John chapter 2, while Jesus was in Jerusalem at the Passover, many believed into him based upon the signs which he was doing that they saw. So they came to him expressing a belief based upon signs, but the end of John chapter 2 tells us that Jesus did not entrust himself to them because he knew what was in the human being. He knew what was in man. And he didn't need any testimony from man. So when we come to God and we try to use nice words to flatter him, he reads our heart. He doesn't go by words. He goes by the spiritual expression of the heart. And when the two match up, and by the way, that's called confession. Homologeo means that your lips are speaking the same thing that's in your heart. That's what the Greek word means by confession. In some religious circles, confession means that you think a certain way and you speak according to that thought, called positive thought. That's not confession. Biblical confession is that you speak with your mouth what is in your heart. It's found in Romans chapter 10. That the mouth speaks and the heart believes. And it's called homologeo. So they were expressing a belief in Christ, and I would think that he would be happy about that because they've seen the signs. But that kind of belief doesn't save. In chapters 3 and 4 now, we have examples of people who are coming to Jesus and using flattering religious words to express themselves to him. But Jesus cuts right through it. He knows exactly what's going on, and he speaks to them about the conditions of their heart. Chapter 3 starts out with the word "now." That is, now as a summary statement of... At the end of chapter 2, where the Lord did not entrust himself to other people, to the human being, because he knows what is in man. Nicodemus comes. The four things we studied about Nicodemus. First of all, he is a Pharisee. That's very important, not just to find out that he's of the religious sect called the Pharisees, who are the law keepers. But that has a meaning for us when we get down to studying about being born of water and the Spirit. Secondly, his name is Nicodemus, a Greek name. Many Jews borrowed Greek names to name to their children, and he's mentioned three times all in the Gospel of John. Here, chapter 7, verse 50, chapter 19, verse 39, Nicodemus is named. Thirdly, he is a ruler of the Jews. That is, he's a member of the Sanhedrin, of the highest religious order. Fourthly, he came by night. And in all three places in the Gospel of John where Nicodemus is mentioned, he's referred to as the person who came to Jesus by night. When we get to chapter 7, we will see that Nicodemus will emerge from out of the council and be actually testifying for the Lord. This one who came by night is now testifying openly and publicly. In chapter 19, we will see that he will come with Joseph of Arimathea to claim the body of Jesus off of the cross and to bury him. So the one who first of all came by night winds up making public identification with Christ in the midst of people who are rejecting him. In today's text, we see a fifth thing. We see in verse 10 that Nicodemus is the teacher of the Jews. King James says he's a master. He's literally the master teacher. He's the head rabbi and the head teacher in Israel. So if anybody was going to be saved and have a right standing with God from a religious standpoint, it would be Nicodemus. When Nicodemus comes to Jesus, verse 2 tells us that Nicodemus says, "We know, Rabbi, we know." Who's the we? Well, at the end of chapter 2, all the people, the many people who saw the signs which Jesus did, and they believed. Nicodemus was one of them. Here's an example of somebody who believes that Jesus is from God, that he is a teacher that has come from God, but he lacks something. Belief in the truth about Jesus doesn't save. Religious belief does not save. So Nicodemus comes and says, "We know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one is able to do these things which you yourself are doing unless God is with him." And instead of Jesus saying, "Nicodemus, you have come to the point of true worship," he says, "Nicodemus, unless anyone," this goes for anyone, but specifically you, "should be born from out of the Spirit of God, you cannot be saved. You cannot see the kingdom of God." You see, the Lord knows our hearts. He didn't receive what Nicodemus had to say. Fine religious platitude. He says, "Nicodemus, you need to be saved. And the only way you can be saved is to be born from out of the Spirit of God. You need a spiritual birth, Nicodemus." He says in verse 3, "Of a truth and the truth, unless someone is born from above of the Spirit of God, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So in verse 4, Nicodemus asks a question, but it contains the Greek word me. It's a negative particle that means whatever the question is, if me is in the question, it means the person is expecting a negative answer. He's expecting the answer no. So Nicodemus says, "How's a man able to be born while he's old?" You're not talking about a person re-entering his mother's womb and being born, are you? He's looking for Jesus to verify to him that that's not what he's talking about. Jesus said in verse 3, of a truth, unless anyone should be born of the water and of the Spirit." So first he says from above, meaning a spiritual birth. Now he says of the water and the Spirit. And I told you the different theories about what water means. We know what Spirit means, but some people think that the water that Jesus is referring to is the water bag that breaks before the child is born, designating a physical birth and a spiritual birth. Other people believe that water represents the Word of God in this case because of Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 and 26, John chapter 15, verse 3, and 1 Peter 1:23, all telling us that the washing of the water is by the Word. So the Word of God is a washing agent that cleanses and purifies. But I told you, as I told you last week, Nicodemus didn't have Ephesians chapter 5, nor 1 Peter 1:23, nor John 15:3 to make that connection. Thirdly, some people think it's Christian baptism. Christian baptism wasn't even presented at this time. The only baptism that was there is John's baptism, John the Baptist. John's baptism was for the Jews only. It was for the Jews to come and be baptized in order to receive their Messiah. The Gentiles were not involved in his baptism. But fourthly, as we showed you, the Scriptures answers the question, what does it mean to be born from out of the water and the Spirit, especially the term the water? In Luke chapter 7, verses 27 through 30, it tells us that the Pharisees, and that's why Nicodemus being a Pharisee, it's important we make that connection, that the Pharisees rejected the counsel of God for themselves to be baptized by John. So God's counsel was that they had to go through John's baptism to be baptized by water and the Lord's baptism to be baptized by the Spirit. They had to be baptized by John's baptism to denounce Judaism as a system that they're putting their trust into for salvation, and turn around and be baptized by Jesus, by the Spirit, in order to be spiritually saved. They rejected John's baptism for themselves. At the beginning of the Gospel of John, in chapter 1, it tells us that John says, I baptize with water, but there's one who's coming after me that baptizes in the Holy Spirit. Water and Spirit. Specifically for Nicodemus, he would know what this meant because he was one of those who rejected John's baptism. So he was telling them that you must be baptized from out of John's baptism in water and Jesus' baptism in Spirit to be saved, Nicodemus, you Pharisees. But it also helps us to understand the rest of the teaching of the New Testament. The teaching of the New Testament is that we are to repent. As a matter of fact, that was the message, to repent. Repentance means to make a decision to turn from the life of sin and to turn to Christ. Twofold. Nicodemus says, in essence, by coming to Jesus, he's saying, I'm skipping John's baptism, which is actually an expression of repentance, that I am turning from the Judaic system, to be saved, but I will acknowledge that you're a teacher that has come from God. Jesus said, you need to be born from above. You need to be born of the Spirit, Nicodemus. You might be a Pharisee, the highest religious order. You might be a ruler of the Jews, a member of the highest ruling council amongst the Jews, the Sanhedrin. You might be the master teacher of Israel, but you need to be born from above. Nicodemus, you're not saved. You need to experience a spiritual birth. As a matter of fact, you need to go back to the beginning and you need to express your repentance through John's baptism and then come and be saved through the moving of the Spirit of God. And then he says in verse 6, he says, and by the way, Nicodemus, that which has been born from out of the flesh is flesh. That which has been born from out of the Spirit is Spirit. Flesh can only produce flesh. That's it. Even flesh And fleshly efforts, human efforts in religious form, can only produce flesh. The Lord was emphasizing to him, and here's where the whole discussion and the presentation changes. Because Jesus is telling Nicodemus that only God's Spirit can give birth. Only by the Spirit of God can one be saved. Only God's Spirit can produce salvation and a spiritual birth. Human beings can't do it. So then he says in verse 7, "You should not marvel that I said to you that it is necessary for you to be born from above." Now the word "you" in this text, prior to this, in verses 3 to 5, it's singular because Jesus was talking specifically to Nicodemus. Now the Lord is broadening the scope of the message. First of all, you as the master teacher of Israel should know these things, spiritual things. You ought to understand these things. As we'll see next week, it has to do with prophecy of Scripture that they actually believed in. They're looking for God to send His Spirit to give life to God's people who are spiritually dead. They taught it from Ezekiel and from some of the other prophets. And Jesus comes and says, "And you're the master teacher, you don't understand what I'm talking about? God's Spirit produces." But he says, "You should not marvel." Not "you" singular, but "you" plural now. "You should not marvel at what I said, that it is necessary for you to be born from above." The reason being why he should not marvel. The wind, and it's interesting, the word "wind" in verse 8, pneuma, is also the word for spirit. That's why God, in his prophecies in the Old Testament, he would use the wind as an example in his parables and in his prophecies about the coming of God's Spirit. They're both the same word. He says, "The wind blows where it desires, and you are hearing the sound of it. But you do not know from where it comes from or where it is going. So is everyone who has been born from out of the Spirit." So now he's back to talking about just the Spirit again. Didn't say anything about water, because it's all the same thing. It's all being born of the Spirit of God for you specifically as a Pharisee, where you have to go and how you have to approach it. But for everybody, it is necessary that they be born from above, from out of the Spirit of God. And so he says, look, the wind blows. You feel the effects of the wind. You hear it. But you don't know where it's coming from. You don't know where it's going. Interesting that they try to predict and show the wind directions on TV and in the news and the weather reports. Wind is changing direction all the time. We don't know where it's coming from. We don't know where it goes after we get through experiencing it. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit of God. It comes from God. The Spirit of God comes from God. And you can't put it in a bottle and experience it. God sends His Spirit, and His Spirit comes upon us and saves us. And we don't know at what time, we don't know how. God just sees our hearts when we come before Him. Whether we say it audibly or our hearts express it, He can see our hearts when we cry out to Him and say, "Lord, save me." In fact, you might not even say it, and that's how I got saved. I never said any words. But God saw the condition of my heart. God saw my heart's cry, something that mentally, psychologically, I wasn't even thinking about. But God had prepared my heart. My heart wanted Him over and above me, even realizing it. I was born of the Spirit of God. You can't bottle up the wind and put it in a building and say, we're going to get God's Spirit to move. It comes from God. And the Spirit is going to take us back to God. But the whole thing is of the moving of God's Spirit. There are terminologies that I've shared with you before that I want to share with you Notice that Jesus talked about being born from out of the Spirit of God. In John chapter 1, verse 12, talked about, first of all, those who had rejected Messiah when he came, and secondly, those who had received him. It is important to understand what it means to receive Christ. The Bible never uses the word accept. It never says to accept the Lord. That means mental agreement. Believing the truth about Jesus Christ doesn't save anybody. As a matter of fact, in James chapter 2, verse 19, James says that you believe in the one true God, you do well. But even the demons are believing and they are trembling. Present tense. Satan believes the truth about Jesus Christ. He knows the truth, but he doesn't submit to him. In fact, earlier in James, prior to James 2:19, he talked about the faith that saves and faith that does not. He says, faith without activity is no faith at all. He says, if I say that I have faith, but I do not have activity, will that faith save? And he's expecting the answer, no. There's a faith that human beings can produce religiously, and there's a faith that comes from God. The faith that comes from God not only recognizes and realizes the truth about Christ, but surrenders, moves to receive Christ, to surrender to Him and allow Him to take over as Lord. But it's all by His Spirit, not by us. Then lately there's the word commit. Thousands of people committing their lives to Christ. You can't commit your life to Christ. It's impossible. I mean, you can, but you can't keep it. What happens when you decide not to commit anymore? It's all over, right? When people make commitments, they break the commitments. They decide not to commit anymore. So everything is based on our decision making, whether we're saved or not. Person must receive Christ. Lambano for reception. Dekomai means to take in the sense of receive. So to tell you that a person needs to take Christ into their heart, that's wrong. They need to receive Christ. Revelation chapter 3, Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone will hear my voice and open the door, I will sup with him and him with me. So basically, it's saying yes to Christ. When he comes to our hearts and he knocks on our heart's door, we say yes, but he's the one that comes in. We are receptive to him coming in. We don't take him. So the encouragement is that if God's Spirit is speaking to your heart, he's showing you your need for Christ. The encouragement is to say yes to Him. Receive Him. Let Him come in and save you. But Him coming in is what saves you. It's all by the Spirit. It's by the Spirit of God. Man himself is dead towards the things of Christ spiritually. Even for me, for the 9 months prior to receiving Christ, even for me to go to a Bible study to be interested in hearing the Word, not understanding anything that was being said, because I wasn't saved, was the Spirit of God. God's Spirit taking His Word, preparing my heart for the day that God had appointed for me to receive Christ. Then He says to Nicodemus in verse 10, are you the master teacher of Israel and you do not know these things? He understood prophecy. He knew of God's promise. But without the Spirit of God, he did not perceive or make the connection. You see, he thought his life already had fulfilled the prophecies. If you're the highest rabbi in Israel, and on all the councils and all the committees, and you can't get any higher than Nicodemus. That must be what it means, that God is going to send His Spirit with new life. And Jesus is telling him, Nicodemus, you're lost. You need to be born from above. You need a spiritual birth that comes from heaven. It's not earthly and it's not human. You can't produce your own salvation, but you can receive it. Nicodemus couldn't make the connection between religion and the Spirit of God. But next week we're going to see the Lord present such a tremendous presentation about what it means, what all of this means. The prophecies of the Old Testament about God sending His Spirit to breathe new life into His people. And exactly the reason why Jesus had to die on the cross. Jesus explained it to Nicodemus. There are many Christians today that don't understand how all of that works. And the Lord's going to share it through His ministry to Nicodemus to our hearts. To close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful again for Your provision, as we have thanked You for all this morning. But we also pray with the understanding that You've not only died for us on the cross, not only provided for the penalty and the provision and consequences of our salvation, but You have sent Your Spirit into our hearts. We're unable to, in our human weakness and in our sin, to be or become righteous. We can only be receptive to Your Spirit coming into our hearts, walking with us, providing for us, and keeping us in all of Your ways. Even though in the flesh and in the human we have a tendency to go astray, yet in our spirit You are keeping us in Christ. Not only are we prepared by the Spirit of God, we're saved by the Spirit of God, and we are sustained and kept by the Spirit of God until Your Spirit brings us into Your presence. It's all of You. We cannot improve upon nor add to anything that You have done, nor are doing, nor will do, other than seek to and surrender to Your Spirit working in our hearts and lives. We pray that by Your Spirit You administer to us these important truths as to whether we are saved, whether we've been born from above. We pray that You'd speak to every heart. As any who have never been receptive to Your Spirit coming in to save them, we pray that by Your Spirit You'd encourage them and persuade them to make that decision. We pray all these things in Jesus' name.